It's Thursday, cough, cough, January, cough, cough, 11th, cough, cough, 2018, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 211, Rejected Mega Man Man. Runtime for this episode is 45 minutes. Hello, and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that always breeds their Pikachu with a Vault Tackle. My name is Jeremy.
I'm actually the third Mega Man boss. You didn't notice me, though. I'm Bomber Guy. Also Tyler.
I have been told I have an electric personality. My name is Zach.
You guys remember that one episode of Static Shock where he's like, oh no, I'm a mutant, that might cause me to mutate or something. And he goes to the doctor and he's like, you're high in electrolytes. And everyone else is like, that's not how electrolytes work.
No, I do not remember that.
Oh, I liked Static Shock. That was a fun show.
It was.
All right, but you know what else is fun? Pulseman for the Sega Genesis.
your mileage may vary.
Yeah, that's about right.
A game apparently developed by the people who would go on to make goddamn Pokemon.
Yep.
The guy that would later on be given the ability to print money.
Yeah, it turns out that's actually only a fourth level skill. It's just the rest of humanity is a really low level.
It's also really hard to find it on the tech tree. Some people miss it.
That's true. It's right behind pottery, and like most people don't take it anymore.
Well, actually, it's down the line from bug collecting. And since no one actually collects bugs anymore.
Did anyone ever?
People in Japan, they have rhinoceros beetles that they can make fight each other. We don't have those in the Americas.
Somebody did.
I could just also imagine Shigeru Miyamoto waking up one day and going, I didn't realize how much fun it was to catalog every animal I run across and then collect one of it like I'm Noah.
That does sound like Shigeru Miyamoto like.
Be half a Noah?
Yep, half a Noah. Well, Pokemon breeding works kind of oddly, so it might actually work out.
Yeah, you just breed a squirrel with a fox, and as long as the squirrel is female, you get a squirrel.
Do we ever, like, get a conclusive answer to why Nidokeen and Nidoqueen aren't in the same egg group?
It's a bug.
Okay, and that they just persisted it?
Yep, because now it's tradition.
Yeah, now it's a feature. Canon.
Yeah. We were talking about the last Pokemon movie last week. The way Ash dies is he gets hyper-beamed by everything, including, like, four Nidoqueens and four Nidokings. So speaking of Nidoking and Nidoqueen, Zach, what have you been playing?
Well, over the break, I picked up Far Cry 3.
Pokemon Ultra Ruby Sapphire?
No.
Ah.
I picked up Far Cry 3, and I've been playing a lot of that, but I'm kind of petering out on it.
Really? Already?
I've been playing that game for quite a bit. I've beaten pretty much the entire first island.
Yeah, that means nothing to me. I have no idea what the progression is. I know nothing about Far Cry, actually.
See, all the Far Crys look like exactly the same game to me after 2, so...
Yeah, I mean, I did the thing that I was interested in, which was explore the island and unlock all the like areas and go do the stronghold missions. I was having fun with that, and then they're like, hey, do all these story missions, and I'm like, these story missions are kind of crap. I'm not really interested in this, but I guess I have to in order to go to the other island, because this is weirdly locked off from me going over there. And now I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm not really interested in continuing very much more. I finally beat the pirate boss in Cuphead. That made me happy.
I haven't gotten that far yet. I think the furthest I got was, I don't know, what was the furthest I got? Oh, Mummy Guy.
Oh.
He was not very hard.
The genie?
Yeah.
That's I beat the murder clown, but I beat him after the genie, but they're about the same place.
The genie...
Yeah, I did the murder clown first.
I kind of struggled with the genie, but you're also better at those kind of games than I am, so... My free Dokkan battle pulled an intelligence Gogeta, so I've been trying to get intelligence units for it.
So are those rare?
They're SSR.
Okay.
They're the 120 intelligence hero leader.
So that one's been playing with that. Me and Tyler haven't finished it, but we were playing a...
Oh, I forgot about this.
We were playing a two-player game called We Were Here. It's like a puzzle game.
Yeah, it's an asymmetric puzzle game that has time limits on each puzzle by virtue of one of you dying if you don't solve it fast enough.
Interesting.
So one of you is a librarian that is mostly the giver of information, and the explorer that is mostly the person acting on that information.
Like one of the puzzles involved a life-size chessboard that was linked to a projector, so Tyler had to tell me what moves to make. To match the projector.
Yeah, it turns out it's a fool's mate is the move that he wanted to do. But I had to explain which pieces go where while Zach is freezing to death and his vision is slowly frosting over. so he can see less and less of the board.
Yeah, and we stopped because Tyler was going out to eat or something like that.
I'm going to go watch the Doctor Who Christmas special.
On one of the later puzzles, which involved doing a play of some kind.
Yeah, like a phonograph gives you a scene, and then I have to... So Zach has a bunch of levers and has to like move some sets or pieces out onto the stage, and then I have to tell him which pieces he's moved, and then coordinate getting the correct pieces out. And then he has to flip a switch once I say we're ready.
Or Tyler dies.
Yeah, or I die.
It sounds like a Saw video game. Just kind with of? Cheerier themes.
So it's kind of a fun game. One of the main problems with it is it's only two player. So we ended up in kind of a weird spot that both Kevin and Ed were both online at the same time as we were. So we ended up kind of having a weird four-man group on that. Because they were both watching me and Tyler's games because we were both broadcasting on Steam. Because I just have my Steam account set to do that.
Yep.
Was having some fun with that one. And then a lot of League, some Plunk Bet. Played a couple of games with Jason in a two-man. Still really liking that second map.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think I still prefer Russia slightly, but I know we were talking about this while we were playing. I'm really glad that they now have a second map. It adds some variety.
Yeah, I'd like a map that's designed around being a little bit more closed in.
I feel like it would be difficult given the nature of that game.
I don't know. I feel like a couple like 3 or 4 story buildings that don't really have access between them would be good.
Honestly, I was thinking more like just one big city. Yeah, that's pretty much been it. I haven't been up to very much. A lot of Far Cry 3, because it was on sale and relatively inexpensive. It was like $6 or something like that. And I think I got $6 worth of entertainment value out of it at the very least. Oh, no, actually, I started watching Code Geass again.
Any particular reason? Or?
Yes, because okay. I read that the new Super Robot Wars with Southeast Asia is getting an English version of.
Oh, okay, I see.
Code Geass in it.
I say, coincidentally, I have a Japanese coworker who's going to Japan at some point in the future, and he asked if I wanted him to pick up any things I didn't feel like importing. So,
yeah, so I found out that one is going to have Code Geass in it, so I was like, oh, sweet. And then I went, I'm on vacation. I can rewatch that series. So I have been, and it's still really, really good.
Yeah, I should probably finish that at some point. I was almost inspired to do it.
Almost.
So you haven't been doing that or anything like that. So what have you been playing, Tyler?
So I picked up a bunch of things in the Steam sale. Mostly I have dubbed them non-Alex-friendly games. I mentioned last week that I picked up Firewatch. And I've gotten far enough into that to be kind of hooked on the story. There's some sort of like murder mystery plot thing. I'm pretty sure the person on the other end of the radio is in on it, kind of.
What do you mean by non-Alex-friendly games?
She doesn't handle horror well.
Oh, so they're mostly horror games?
Yeah, or certain types of visceral violence she doesn't do super well with. So I picked up Zero Time Dilemma, which is a Saw simulator? kind of?
Are you the murderer?
Oh, no, you're one of the murderees. So there 9 people have been kidnapped and put into Saw-like situations, and you bounce between one of 3 people. Like, one representative in each group is the player character. And you go through and, like, make a bunch of difficult moral decisions and solve some puzzles. So, that's interesting. I haven't gotten super far into it, but I like the concept a lot. I also picked up... I can't remember what it's called. It is a weird, surreal horror game. It was a fairly popular one. I'm looking at Jeremy because I think he might know what it's called.
I need more than that. Deadly Premonition is all I got, and I know you're not talking about that.
No.
How old is it?
2 years, I think. So
Outlast...
Yep, it's Outlast. That's
okay.
It.
Yeah, that
I'm amazed I got it on that little.
That is very much not an Alex-friendly game from what I know of it.
My next guess was going to be Layers of Fear. But yeah, I imagine she doesn't want to watch you get your dick ripped off, so.
Yeah.
I don't actually think that happens in the first one. I think just your head gets ripped off.
I think you can have that happen if you in one of the death animations.
So, that's been interesting so far. I'm not sure if I'm actually going to follow through on it because it's not... Not the right type of horror for me, I think. So.
Well, you're more psychological from what I know. You're not really the, let's tear some pieces off of you.
Outlast ends up having some real cool sci-fi stuff in the end, but...
So, we'll see. I don't know. It's also not a super long game from what I've heard.
No,
so
a couple hours.
I might finish that off at some point. Have not made a whole lot more progress on Odyssey. I've been mostly going back through and, like, trying to puzzle over the couple moons I'm missing.
Yeah, I wanted to go back and get all the moons, but I kind of fell off it after a couple times back. Even though I do really like that game.
So I gotta ask, where are you in Cuphead, Tyler?
don't know. I feel like we talked about this just a few minutes ago.
How far have you gotten past the dragon? Have you even fought the dragon yet?
No. I'm not aware of the existence of a dragon.
I feel like we just talked about how he just beat the Pharaoh mummy genie. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't sure if that was the absolute last boss he played against or if there was one that,
yeah, that was
he
the last...
just finished it. Because I still consider myself to have just beaten the bee.
The bee?
It's the later boss.
Okay.
It's a bee.
Yeah, it's a bee, I guess. No, actually, the one I had the worst time with so far was the flower, actually.
The flower, really?
Yeah, I don't know why, but that guy was giving me, like, I beat the clown after 3 tries. And
that's
like,
about what it took me to beat the flower. It took me a lot more to beat the clown.
Yeah, the flower took me, like, 8 to 10 times, so I don't know what about it, but...
How well did you do against the vegetable garden?
Immediate victory. It was not a problem.
I didn't even get hit when I did that one.
Yeah, me neither. So that's actually, I got an achievement for a perfect run on that one, and that is literally the only one.
Same here.
So, I feel like that one is not a very good indication of what is going to go on later in this game. I actually feel like a large part of my problem with Cuphead is I focus way too much on getting the requisite 3 parries in any particular fight.
That's a requirement?
Well, if you want to get 3 out of 3 parries, it's a requirement.
Oh, I just worry about winning the level.
Yeah, well, and I think my obsession with trying to get all the parries causes me to lose more frequently than I should. So... I don't know. According to the pool, I am through the clown and the mummy in the second area, I think, and I've died 50 times, so...
You can see that?
Yeah, there's a guy who tells you how many times you died.
Oh, I haven't looked.
Yeah, it's like, from where you fought the clown, if you go slightly further to the right, there's like a face in the ground.
I'm on a different island entirely from where you are.
Yeah, I'm saying if you go back to that island and then go there, you might actually be recurring, because I think I've seen... screenshots of that pool other
probably
places.
Mine is probably much, much higher than that. It feels like I might have gotten almost to that level of deaths against the dragon, actually, which I think is on the island you're on.
So, I don't know. I like Cuphead a lot. I mean, it's basically just Mega Man, but just the bosses. So
that's why I got it for you. I figured you'd really enjoy that one.
Yep. No, it's a lot of fun. I just haven't picked it back up, basically, since I played that one time, because I got all these other games all at once, and now I can't decide what I need to be playing. The other thing I played a little bit of was Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. It was a Christmas present. It is not a game I would have bought for myself, because I already owned it on the Wii U, but I'm kind of glad I have it, because anyone I know who owns a Switch really only owns that as a multiplayer game.
I mean, there's really only that and Splatoon.
Yeah. I mean, I assume there was some...
I guess Doom.
Is Doom multiplayer?
It has a multiplayer mode on it, yeah.
Ha. Huh. I feel like some mode where you can't interact with each other, but you can killjack each other's demons as you're fighting.
From what I understand, part of the mode is that you can become some of the demons and go on a rampage.
Okay.
What I just imagined was like Tetris Attack, but Doom. So you're fighting a bunch of demons, and whenever you kill one, it sends it to the other player, and he has to kill it.
Yeah. That would be awesome. I was thinking, like, you have a time to live, and every time you kill a demon, it gets, like, incremented, and you're trying to steal kills from your opponent, but can't interact with them directly.
That's actually, like, a couple of the challenge modes. One of the challenge modes that you can come across in Doom is you can only move for a certain amount of time after scoring a kill.
Okay. Yeah, no, and that's pretty much exactly that, except multiplayer. And also, you're in the same arena, so you're competing for well-placed enemies. Probably not actually a game mode that exists, but I think it would be fun.
Anything else, Tyler?
Nope, not really. I mean, Mario Kart's still Mario Kart. They did not change a whole lot.
I'm shocked.
I know. You start with all the characters unlocked in Deluxe, which is
kind of
weird.
That's both kind of beneficial to a game like that and also kind of annoying because you don't have the pleasure of unlocking them.
Yeah, so I love unlocking characters, but having to unlock all the characters again in Smash after I have, like, put a lot of time and effort into getting really good with a couple of apparently the secret characters was really annoying when I had to, like, go and unlock all of them. Like, I really want to stomp this guy's face in with Ganondorf, but I haven't unlocked Ganondorf yet. I'm of two minds on unlockable characters anymore.
Yeah, me too. I really miss the days where there was just a cheat to unlock them all. That, to me, solved both problems.
Yeah.
Because by default, you have the answers to go unlock them, but if your data gets erased or something, you can just...
You can just do it. So,
especially in a lot of those multiplayer games where, especially like Smash Brothers, where if you're playing with friends, you have to unlock all the characters, and if you unlock all the characters, by the time you do that, you're actually much, much better than your friends might be.
Yeah.
Since they haven't gone through all the effort of basically practicing to unlock all these other characters.
Since I've been bouncing off of a lot of other games, I also played Splatoon. I am now S-ranked in every ranked mode except for Clam Rush.
What is that game mode? Is that like...
Clams spawn on the field. If you manage to collect 10 of them, they turn into a football, also called a power clam. And near the enemy spawn, there's like a hot weather balloon. Hot weather balloon. A weather balloon. There we go. That you can throw the power clam in to bring down their shield, and then your teammates can toss whatever clams in whatever form into their basket. And whichever team manages to deposit the most clams in the opponent's basket wins.
This sounds like the best Mario Party minigame.
And the shield regenerates after like a minute of being down or something to that effect. Or a minute of being down without any clams thrown into it. One consecutive clamless minute. There we go. I'm not very good at it, but neither is anyone else as far as I can tell.
That's because that sounds like it takes a lot more coordination than most of the other game modes.
It does. Yeah, no, I suspect it's actually going to be great for league games, but less so for just randos. So I managed to climb to B rank in that, and I'm like, feel like I've hit my peak on this game mode, which is a little weird, but you can't be the individual hero in that mode that you can be in some of the others. That said, Kevin did pick up a copy of it. We haven't played together yet. One of these days.
You can peer pressure me into it.
Yeah, we're halfway to a team of four that we need for League.
No.
All you need to do is buy a Switch and also copy a Splatoon and also...
Not happening.
Yeah, I didn't think so. What have you been up to, Jeremy?
So I've been playing a lot of Dokkan Battle.
Gasp. Did you get any sweet pulls?
I just pulled Ultimate Gohan yesterday.
Oh, that's nice.
Hybrid Saiyan leader.
I pulled him too. Second try.
Mine was fifth try? It was the last stones that I had. I pulled Ultra Instinct Goku on my first pull. Single pull.
Nice.
He got really lucky with that. I'm still kind of jealous over that.
So is he actually any good?
He's very interesting. He's very good on a hero intelligence team. He's also the leader for the Power of Gods category, but he doesn't Dokkan Awaken yet for whatever reason. So he's only a two key leader.
Ha. Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Presumably he will at some point when the anime catches up to whatever form they want to Dokkan Awaken him to, is what most people assume is going to happen. But he's pretty cool. He has a dodge chance. The first time you get under 50% HP, he gets massive buffs.
Which are consistent for the rest of the battle?
I think there are seven turns.
Okay.
But that's basically the
rest
of the
battle. Yeah, that's basically the rest of the battle.
I actually have a pretty good Realm of Gods team.
It's a very small category, but most of the units in are good.
I'm missing like the one of the S tier units in that category. And that's purely because it's an LR.
I also have continued to play Pokemon. I've decided I'm just going to get a Bagon no matter how long it takes to get from that island. So my team's going to be way over-leveled, and I'm going to be really annoyed. But I can only stand to go for Bagon for about an hour a day. It hasn't happened yet. So the other I decided that I need to spend less money on Dokkan Battle in 2018. And the way I'm going to do this is by playing another game, and I can't possibly spend money on both of them. So it will divide my attention between them. So I picked up Digimon Lynx. Which is pretty new. It's came out since we started playing Dokkan Battle. It is a Digimon-based gacha game that is both way, way more like insidious in its getting you to pay money and also more nice to you if you're free to play in some weird ways.
How so?
In theory, you can get any Digimon in the game free to play because Digimon evolve on like trees and you can evolve almost any Digimon into any other Digimon. It's not quite that generous, but you can get any rookie Digimon from the free pulls and then in theory evolve them up.
Okay. How do you evolve them?
In theory.
Okay. Well, they need to be max level and then you need Digivolution Fuel, which works basically like metals in Dokkan Battle.
Okay.
And then there's daily quests for each type of metal. They basically have types like Pokemon and there are seven of them and each day is a type.
Okay.
If you want to get to Mega, which is the highest level, though, you need specific Mega Digivolution Fuel for that Mega. So if you want a War Greymon, you need War Greymon Fuel.
Okay.
And you get that from events that come, like, and are temporary. So they're basically the equivalent of Dokkan events in Dokkan Battle. And so a lot of them have not come yet, but they have been available on the pay-to-play banners that you can pull them from. Because when you pull on a pay banner, you can get randomly between Rookie and Mega.
Wow. Okay. So
do you have any way to generate those things that let you pull on those pay banners as a free player?
Same way as in Dokkan Battle.
Okay. Just plain, generally.
You just don't get many of them. You get basically three a day plus about 10 every other day for logins, and you need 200 to pull on a banner.
Wow. And I thought Dokkan Battle was rough.
They give you more of them than they give you in Dokkan Battle, but it also takes a lot more of them. The prices are crazy, even compared to Dokkan Battle, which is why I'm like, nope, not going to spend any money on this game. They also have an interesting mechanic where if you get a Digimon to Mega, you can fuse it with another Mega to send it back to being an egg, but then it gets a cool plus one by it, and all its stats are much higher.
Okay,
but that's interesting.
But it also takes more Digivolution fuel to Digivolve it, so you need a ton of Mega Digivolution fuel to get a plus four Mega, and also you have to go through Megas three times. So that incentivizes you to use some of the crappy Megas to get your pluses up, and also to sacrifice them to plus your thing more. It is very interesting, but there are a lot of pay-to-win mechanics that leave a bad taste in my mouth, which is good because I don't want to pay money for this game. But right now there is an event going on for Black Omnimon to be Omega, which is when I would like. But basically it's a ranking event that lurks like the World Tournament in Dokkan Battle.
Okay.
But you get more points if you buy these chips that are in a random chip pull, that you have to pay 100 stones to get the chips, and then you have to pull the chip to increase your points. So not only is it more about who plays the level more and grinds more like the World Tournament in Dokkan Battle, it's also about who spent all the money to get these chips. And all the events work like that. So like I can easily, just by playing the event a little bit, get enough fuel to get a plus zero Omnimon. But to get a plus four one, I have to rank, I think, the top 2,500.
Which is actually pretty hard.
Yeah, and to be fair, I pulled a B-tier chip on one pull on that. So I could do it if I grinded enough, but it means you have to play it a lot more. It also has a co-op mechanic, where if you join someone else's like co-op room, you don't spend stamina to play the mission. But that also makes it grindier, because you want to go even when you don't have stamina. And the person who makes the room just gets more points.
More whatever.
Yeah. So it's very interesting. As a fan of Digimon, I like it, and I want a sweet Gallantmon and a sweet Beelzemon, but the pay-to-play elements of it are not great. But since I'm, like, even Dokkan Battle, I mostly play to collect and build cool teams, this has some appeal to me. And I've continued to play it for, like, 4 weeks now.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they bring the Fairy Tail one over, because I like Fairy Tail quite a bit.
This is the only one that stuck with me. I tried the Naruto one and a couple other ones, and I bounced right off of them.
Yeah, I have a couple of them. I still have the other one that I play that is usually a matter of, I don't have any stamina in Dokkan Battle, but I'm really not feeling like doing anything that takes actual thought.
FTL.
So, nah, it's
This Digimon one has like a standard JRPG combat system where you have a party of three. They have attack, they have a special move based on the Digimon they are, and then they have another move that's just a random element in power. And the ones you pay money for have better moves, and then you can sacrifice any Digimon to give that move to a different one.
Big surprise.
Yeah.
Sounds a little bit like the Fate combat system in Fate Go.
Not familiar with it, but I'll take your word for it. JRPG-ish.
Yeah. Each character has a super attack that comes up later on, but they have like blue, green, and red that do certain things.
This also has a major PvP mode, which is another thing I'm not interested in. Because it's very pay to win, just because you have to pay a bunch of money to get sweet plus four Digimon, which are going to be better than your opponents.
Yeah, because at least with
you need money to get the right skills.
At least with the Dokkan World Tournament, which is ostensibly kind of a PvP element, you're not actively going up against other people, and a lot of the passives for the opposing teams are disabled.
Yeah, because you never get the secondary leader friend bonus. Which is nice.
Well, you don't get that as a player, but like they don't get the character passives.
It depends on the character. But like Vegeta won't counterattack you, for example. So yeah, it leaves a lot of bad taste in my mouth, but at the same time, since I'm not paying it to play it, I'm actually paying a very limited amount at a beginner pack I bought. Because like, this is a reasonable deal. I will get a sweet Gallantmon for $15. I could deal with that. I don't know.
So talking about JRPGs. I have wondered this for a while, and I tried to read the Wikipedia entry on this, and it didn't really help. What the hell is Nier Automata about?
I got it for Christmas, so maybe I can tell you.
Okay.
Yes.
But I have not opened it yet. I want to play Wind Waker first, which is a game I've tried to play many times and yet to succeed, so it might be a while. And also West of Loathing and Pokemon, so...
Tyler, just answered your question.
It's a sequel to another really weird game that had a weird plot.
It's called Nier.
Okay. Fair enough.
But I was familiar with it because one of the people whose podcast I listened to was a big fan of it.
As far as I can tell, they're androids.
Seems that way.
And
look, people like to cosplay it. It's got very good visuals. That's what I know.
Yep, that's pretty much all I know, too.
One of the guys at Team Four Star is very good at it. He speed ran it for charity right after the United States was besieged by hurricanes.
Yeah, no, like I said, I tried to read the Wikipedia article and the plot synopsis, and like, this makes no sense. I have no idea what's going on here. I don't know if playing the game is going to be any better. I forget which series it was. The one with Cosmos?
Xenosaga, I've been staring at it on your bookshelf, wondering if I should play those again, knowing the answer is no. But it is a JRPG where you can summon a mech and jump in it and fight the people you're fighting, and it does have a hot robot with missiles as one of the characters.
Yep. Unfortunately, I tried, like, I got 5 hours into that game, and like, man, this is a bad game. Yep.
So, from what it sounds like, and what I know of that game, you got past the opening cutscene?
Yeah, just about. No, I got into the, I forget what they call the aliens, the Gnosis or something?
Did Jesus show up yet?
No.
Spoilers, Xenosaga is about Jesus, Cosmos is Mary Magdalene.
Oh, sweet. No, Jesus did not show up. Like, the voice acting was terrible, and, like, the plot was, like, really trite and heavy-handed.
Tyler,
and...
play Dino Crisis 3.
No, but Dino Crisis 3 knows what it is. Or at least it doesn't think it's the goddamn Bible.
Dino Crisis 3 is fantastically bad.
We haven't played Dino Crisis yet, have we? No. I was like, we totally have. And then I remembered it was Turok, which is not Dino Crisis.
I just remember the thing I was going to tell you at dinner and kept forgetting.
Oh?
It's your turn to pick a game.
Ah, okay. I'll consider that.
Okay, but that's pretty much all I've been playing, because I got to grind to get this Black Omnimon.
Which seems like kind of a pain.
Yeah, although I don't know that I'm going to continue doing this, but this one's cool.
I ground for a perfect Candy Vegito at some point, so... I mean,
Candy Vegito's amazing.
The thing about Dokkan Battle is you're limited by your stamina, so, you know, I have to grind Dokkan Battle for, like, an hour if I'm doing a low stamina event, and I have an hour of downtime in my day, easy. Whereas this, because, like, I'm encouraged to play even without stamina...
There isn't really an end point.
Yeah, which makes it feel way grindier. Like I've said about Dokkan Battle before, because I have limited stamina, choosing to grind is a meaningful decision to me.
Yeah, because you have to choose what to grind on.
Yeah. So even if it's a little grindy, it still feels more good. Man, that sentence got away from me. Speaking of more good, Pulse Man, a game I found way more good than you guys.
I mean, I didn't
Are
find
we
it bad.
Sure this wasn't just a Mega Man boss that got that went rogue?
I'm not 100% sure. It went rogue and got on the Sega?
Yes. I mean, I said it went rogue.
I really wonder if the English version of this game had the text translated, because if you play it on the Virtual Console, you were playing the Japanese version. This game did come to America, but only via the Sega channel. So basically, it was the equivalent of an Xbox arcade-only game.
I didn't think we had the Sega channel. I thought that was only a Japan thing.
No, we absolutely had the Sega channel. I tried to get it at a hotel once, and because I thought it was a TV channel with Sega programming, and did not realize it was a weird DLC engine for a 16-bit console.
Well, I mean, Sega had some really good ideas. Like, that, obviously, that's where we ended up with the way gaming is now. But that was a little bit too early, because that was also when we were still rocking dial-up.
Especially in the States, with our terrible network that has to be huge, because the United States are huge. So I'm pretty sure no one played the American version of Pulse Man, so no one can answer the question if the text was translated or not. But this
I'm sure that was the one guy that did.
But this is a game you can play very easily in Japanese, because all the dialogue is in English. The only thing that's in Japanese are the level descriptions. I have no idea what they say because I don't read Japanese. But it does have a very Mega Man feel to it right from the start, because there's a stage select.
Is there?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you can choose one of three stages, but they are labeled stage 1 through 3. So I started with stage 1.
Yeah. And also, I don't really see the point to it. In Mega Man, there's the thing where if you can't beat this level, maybe you can beat another one and come back with a better gun. But in this one, there's no benefit to beating a level in any order, so...
I must not have even noticed the stage selection.
So anyway, a cute anime girl will show up on screen and in English tell you what to do.
Ish.
Which is mostly select stage.
In English-ish through the...
Is it actually English?
No, it's actually English. The problem is it's garbled by the Genesis's sound.
Yeah, the problem is the Genesis's ability to produce sound noises, not the voice actor. Because when you beat the levels, you actually see this newscast that I have no idea how they fit on a Sega Genesis cart. That's like, you know, 3 or 4 sentences of, "The villains were thwarted, thanks to the efforts of Pulse Man."
Well, again, Sega doing something interesting with their consoles.
The Sega.
Yeah.
That's 20% of the Sonic cart. Just that soundbite. So I don't know how they did all this.
Was this before we developed good compression algorithms for sound?
And also a cartridge? Like, what are you going to put on a cartridge? You got to put a video game on there.
Yeah, that is true. I just wonder, like, is this before MP3s? Because one of the reasons MIDIs sounded so good for a long time is because you could actually save a lot of data in those. And then we're like, oh, what if we just, like, compress it and lose a little bit of the sound quality, and then MP3s were born? And I'm wondering if, like, I don't know when those came about.
I'm guessing after this game.
I'm pretty sure they came around after, because MP3 players were, like, started becoming popular around late GameCube.
I remember Star Fox 64 was, like, really popular, or I guess one of the things they really advertised about themselves is all their voice lines. And, like, this doesn't seem very complicated to me, but...
Well, even the PlayStation could do that just as well, but it was, for an N64 game, it was a big deal.
Yeah. Or, like, Mega Man Legends that had all those voice lines.
So, speaking of Mega Man, this game feels very Mega Man when you boot it up. The art style isn't quite Mega Man X, it's a little different, but it certainly feels like it's a direction Capcom could have gone for Mega Man. And it really feels weird that this isn't a mascot platform that really took off. Because the character designs are good, and I think the gameplay is really solid. I think the only thing is that Game Freak then went to make Pokemon, which took them a million years. And when they were done, they had Pokemon, so why did they need to make anything else?
I'm actually a little surprised Pulseman runs as well as it does with all the sound bites and whatnot coming in there, because Pokemon was full of bugs, so they must have done something. The guys over there at Game Freak must have had some kind of weird cartridge wizardry going on. Let them do weird things that let them do more with carts than other people could.
Yeah, I mean, so Pokemon was entirely written in assembly. So I'm wondering, like, you could pull off some magic tricks with that if you're going to write a Genesis cart in assembly.
So Pulseman doesn't play like your average platformer character, at least I don't think so. He has a jump like you'd expect. He also has an attack, but it's very short range and kind of melee. You can also do a duck kick if you need to attack low enemies, or you can kind of do a jump flip kick for enemies right above you. That's a little tricky to pull off. Also, you can just kind of randomly spark. But if you get going, you have an acceleration, kind of like Sonic, or if you double tap forward, you'll do a dash. And once you do either of those, you get, like, static electricity around you. And that turns your, like, little melee attack into a blast.
Yeah, Volt Arrow or something to that effect. You shout the name as you do it, but again, garbled sound noises.
And it turns your little, like, spark thing into Volt Tucker, or Volt Tackle if you're American, which turns you into this bolt of electricity that arcs diagonally up and bounces off any platforms you hit.
And if you hit platforms frequently, like, it times out after, like, 1 second of not hitting a platform. But if you hit platforms frequently enough, you just can bounce forever and go through all sorts of enemies.
Which is actually a really cool idea, because a lot of them, it just ended immediately upon doing something. But that continues. Actually, this has more of the gotta go fast thing than Sonic does, because you want to keep up your momentum so you can keep your blaster and the Volt Tackle active to let you deal more effectively with the threats, even though they already give you a lot of options to deal with.
Yeah, I really like that mechanic of, like, you have to have run a certain distance in order to be effective.
Yeah, because it creates these little, like, power grid, this power graph, where once you have the static, you're, like, powerful. You can easily, if you fall off a platform, you can just Volt Tackle upwards and get out of it. Or if you find an enemy, you can just shoot through it and get a bunch behind it. But then once you do that, you're weak until you manage to build up static electricity again, which is a cool little dynamic.
So it really is a game that wants you to keep moving. With primarily the Volt Tackle, I feel, because they want you to keep bouncing to enemies and wires and whatnot to keep momentum in.
But it's also a little tense. Actually, it's like, do I use it now? Do I save it for later?
It goes back to what Jeremy is always saying about Mario, that Mario is easiest when played slow, but most fun when played fast. And I think that idea of you got to keep up your momentum to get your stuff, and the really cool thing of bouncing around in the Volt Tackle, you have to move fast and keep your momentum moving forward, really reinforces that for this game.
And also, the Volt Tackle is not like any mechanic I've seen in another platformer. It works kind of like wall kicks do, but because you launch up, it has a different start, and that just makes it feel really unique to me.
Yeah, you have no control over where you go once you launch it. Like, you know which direction you're going to go once you hit the button, but after that, it's just like, you're off. And you can predict the path if you are, you know, reasonable geometry.
Neither of you beat a level, right?
No, I didn't.
No, I didn't.
You do a bonus stage when you beat a level that's Breakout.
Awesome. With Volt Tackle?
Yeah, with you.
Wow, that's actually kind of neat.
That's kind of clever. I like it.
And this game has lots of nice little touches like that. I don't love the level design. In particular, the second stage doesn't seem to have a lot of Volt Tackle stuff to do. They really seem to show it off in the first level. And also, I have a similar problem to this as I do with Sonic, where it seems really zoomed in, so it's hard to tell when they want you to Volt Tackle upward or when there's a alternate upward path, and I wish it was just zoomed out.
But I will say this game seemed like, having played through most of the first level, I think the entire first level minus actually beating the boss, it really rewards you for choosing the higher path as often as you can. So when you have a fork, it almost always behooves you to go high. Specifically, they're like, I forget what they're called. The peppy anime girl tries to say it for you, but again, voice garbling. I think it's spark orbs. You get 10 of them, they're an extra life.
Yeah, they work like Mario coins, kind of.
One of my favorite things, actually, is so you have 3 hits by default. After you've taken your second hit, cute anime girl pops on and warns you to be careful. Oh no, I think it's a nice touch.
It is.
I agree with you.
Like I said, I wish it was zoomed out, but because we're so zoomed in, the characters get to look very good, better than even like Mega Man X characters to a degree, or at least more detail. They're kind of bigger and chunkier.
The problem is you don't get to see as much of the level, so it's harder to make the decisions you need to make.
Yeah. And also, a lot of the backgrounds have this like trippy colorness to them that really makes me think of, oh, this is a Genesis game, all right, because I can't tell what's background and what's platform I'm supposed to be landing on. Some of that feels intentional. There are little bits where you like go into microchips and then they look crazy. And there are all sorts of things that seem like they should be background, but they're actually platforms you can interact with.
And there are some things that like there are just hidden walls in those areas that you can just walk right through. Although you can actually just watch enemies and try to like use their movement patterns to find hidden areas.
Yeah, the enemies follow the same rules. And in some places, it seems like they place them there to show you, hey, you can walk here. But some things look like walls, but you can go by them. Other things look like you'd fall through them, but they're platforms. It's kind of cool. And this game does a lot with its theming. You can also find little electric wires, and then you can go into them and move along them. Stage 2 has a pretty elongated part where you have to travel up via these like electric wires, and you have to like jump from wire to wire. And you don't actually jump. You just, when you're on them, you like spark. Yeah. From one to another, and they like all take different paths. And again, it would be easier if you had more of the screens so you could tell which ones went where. But it is this cool little mechanic.
It definitely sounds neat.
So, because I only got to the first boss and immediately died, and then my computer died, how were the bosses in this game compared to like Mega Man bosses?
Not as good as Mega Man bosses. They're fine. They have a few things that are cheap the first time, but once you learn how their attack patterns work, they're easy to avoid. I was thinking a lot of Cuphead bosses, actually, and how much better they are, but these aren't bad. Once you understand what they're doing, you can very easily predict what they're going to do and take them out. They're also a lot easier to beat than Cuphead bosses, so a few cheapish attacks aren't as big a deal.
Well, that's kind of the point of Cuphead in general, is to beat balls hard.
Yeah, the first one is this, like, power glove that flies around, and you're doing it on this sort of microchip thing where it will, like, smash down as a hand, and then that destroys the terrain below you, but you can just go down to lower terrain, and then you can also vault tackle back up to the higher terrain, and you just got to kind of manipulate it into your line of fire.
So I found that one kind of interesting, because as you come up to the guy who's the final boss, it's actually just a guy wearing a VR headset, and then you enter virtual reality and do virtual reality combat with him.
And when you beat that, you like exit virtual reality and just smack him. And that's the end of the level.
That's actually kind of neat.
I was hoping that would be the case.
But yeah, I really liked this game. And also the music, it's done by the same guy who does the Pokemon music, and I can tell and really like it. It's not like amazing or anything. It's not going to make my iTunes playlist, but
Pokemon music is kind of classic for a reason.
Yeah. And a lot of this got reused in Pokemon. The first level sounds a lot like a slower version of the gym battle music to me.
And I think you're also saying that the, fourth level sounded like the Palkia Dialga theme?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, you can definitely tell it's the same guy, for sure. And I don't know, I just really was charmed by this game. I wish I had played a little more of it. If we were doing our 10 games to check out on the Wii Virtual Console now, this would definitely make the list.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of sad that I didn't play... I intended to play more of it, but my computer was having issues, and I didn't actually buy it.
I don't know that it would make my list, but I definitely do think it's worth checking out if you're interested in this kind of game.
Well, it's one of the better games that I had never heard of. That we found through the podcast.
It is certainly one of, as I think Jeremy said off the podcast, it is the best Genesis game we've played so far that is not in the Sonic 2 division.
So speaking of the games we've played, we have a list of them all from best to worst at our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. At the top is Chrono Trigger, an electrifying game. At the bottom is Echo the Dolphin, a game that feels like being electrocuted.
I don't even know why. I didn't think Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow was in the top 20.
And in the middle is Mega Man 2 for Game Boy.
Oh, hey.
This game's better than that.
Yeah, definitely better than the Game Boy one.
I want to start with Pokemon just because it's the only game by this developer. It's not as good as Pokemon.
Yeah, it's
not.
We don't even need to discuss
it. Yeah, Pokemon just has so much more going on. I got into an argument with someone at work about Pokemon. He's like, yeah, there was never anything to those games anyway. I'm like, man, it's a JRPG where you have a party of 6 people and like thousands of possible characters to choose from. What is wrong with you?
No, I mean, when you actually break it down, there's a lot of complicated things going on in the Pokemon games.
Next game we should compare it to, I think, is number 25, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, the other good game on this platform. But this game is not as good as that. I really like this game. I might like it more than Sonic 2, but it is not as good as Sonic 2.
No, Sonic 2 is really well done. Not saying this one isn't, but it's not as good as Sonic 2.
Like, last week, I think Mario Odyssey is a better game than Return of Samus, but I enjoyed Return of Samus more.
Jeremy, I do not think that it's worse than Mega Man on the Game Boy, so that might be a...
Yeah, well, I was going to skip that one because I think it's a loaded one. But the next one I want to compare it to is Mega Man X2, because it feels, like I said, very much like a Mega Man game, and specifically because I think of the console it's on, like a Mega Man X game. I think X2 controls just a little better with its air dash. It doesn't nearly have as many good ideas, but...
Yeah, well, I liked
this game more than Mega Man X2 because of the ideas that it was rocking, and I didn't notice any problems like I did in Mega Man X2.
Yeah, my problem is they don't capitalize on your mechanics quite as much as they could have, and I feel like it was missing just a little something to, like...
It's the level design is what I think it is.
Yeah, I think that's really
Mega Man 2, I think, or X2, has, I think, much better designed levels that really test what you can do and let you show off your power-ups when you get them, and I think this game is missing that, although I think it's close.
Yeah, I would have to give it to X2.
I am outvoted.
All right, next game I think we should compare it to is Mega Man 4, and here's where I think Pulse Man's innovative ideas just make it a better game. Mega Man 4 is pretty solid, I think.
I honestly can't remember Mega Man 4.
Is that the one with Pharaoh Man?
It is the one with
They're
Pharaoh Man.
They're all kind of blending together for me.
They do.
And that's fair, and that's why I think Pulse Man is better.
Yeah.
It's because I think it stands out from that.
Fair.
Okay, so we're all in agreement?
I'll give it that, yeah.
So the only other platformer in this area is Shantae. And I did not like Shantae as much as either of you, so I think this is way better than Shantae. But what do you guys think?
Well, this might be me judging it based on other things, but I don't think it's better than Knights of the Old Republic, so I find it really difficult to say it's better than Shantae.
That's fair. I actually like Shantae more, so, like, music's okay. Better, it controls better on average.
Then since Zach brought it up, let's compare it to Knights of the Old Republic. I actually don't think it's as good as Knights either. Tyler?
Yeah, I think I agree. Knights of the Old Republic has a lot going for it.
So this game goes at number 45, directly below Knights of the Old Republic and above Mega Man 4.
That's not exactly where I had initially thought this game was going to end up, but I think it's interesting ideas in the fact that it does actually do a decent job of implementing some of them. Like Tyler said, it's not all of them, but it does do enough to hold itself together. Unlike in some of the other games like Metal Marines, where it had interesting ideas, but it didn't do enough to hold the game together.
Yeah, and this was a solid game, it just, the level design needed some work.
I think the world where instead of making Pokemon, they made Pulse Man 2. Pulse Man 2 is an all-time classic, but sadly we don't get Pokemon, and I don't know if it's worth that trade.
Yeah.
Nah, I think you're right.
All right, so, Tyler, what are we going to play next week?
So I'm actually kicking around two ideas here. Mario Odyssey has got me in the mood for 3D platformers. Well, one thing I've been thinking about playing Mario Odyssey is like, man, this is so much better than Yooka-Laylee and a 3D platformer. In the vein of 3D platformers, Bomberman Hero is up for consideration. I don't know if we have enough time to play that.
Bomberman Hero isn't that involved.
Is that not the one I'm thinking it is?
You're thinking of Bomberman 64,
I always do that. Well, in that case, Bomberman Hero anyway, because bombs.
Yeah, and also it's going away. Bomberman Hero is on the Wii U virtual console. Bomberman Hero is not.
You mean Bomberman 64 is on the Wii U virtual console? Bomberman Hero is not?
Isn't that what I said?
You said Bomberman Hero for both of them, so I had to double check.
Yes. One is available on Wii U and one is available on Wii, for some reason.
The other one I wanted to check, because I was looking over the list of games I have, is Yes. YS? 1 and 2 are apparently a bundle pack on the Wii Virtual Console. And
I think I would prefer to go with Bomberman Hero.
That's fair. Like, my problem with that one is it's a JRPG, and it's two JRPGs.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if we have enough time for that. So, Bomberman Hero, the game that I continuously confuse with Bomberman 64. Yeah.
So, next time on Last Time, the worst Bomberman game on the N64. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2018. All games, movies, and other media mentioned in this podcast are copyright their respective owners. If you wish to listen to more episodes, visit us at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can see the entire archive. If you wish to get in contact with us, you can email us at
LTOVG at lasttimeonvideogames.com. This episode is over. Try listening to another one?